I have to
enjoy your yard, rake leaves, do all those funsy things. You folks are standing in line in the back for the notary? Okay. Will the rest of you come in and sit down, and when you see the notary line, then help yourself go back again later. We appreciate Ann Schatzman for coming and volunteering doing this for us. So welcome. This is wonderful. We're so pleased that you all came and gave us your valuable Saturday morning time. Before we begin with everything in particular, I'd like to introduce you to the board, sewer board members. John Hendrich, Rick Lippitt, Ken Jost, and Rich Hirsch. The next thing I want to do is tell you that Janet Hirsch is our LTPOA liaison, and at the back table is Mary Lywecki, who's in charge of publicity. The other important person at the table who's been a big help is our new attorney, Bob Sweeney. Our engineer, chief engineer is here. Tim has a light on me. Tim, raise your hand, and he has a helper assistant, right? And that's Joe Gable. The other guest will, do you want to, I can introduce him now. Dan, your last name, Dan? Dan Huffner, and he's from Flow Services, and he has a mock-up here, a real, is that the real thing?
Real thing.
It's a real thing, that's the pump that goes in our septic tanks.
Yeah, okay.
The program today is sewer update, but we're going to begin first to talk about the way we're organizing the morning's meeting. First of all, we don't want any questions during the presentation. The engineers will give us their presentation first, and then after that will be Bob Sweeney with the legal aspects. When you ask questions later, if you give us your name and lot number, that way if we don't feel that we could answer you or wanted to get back to you, we'll know who you are. The questions will be limited to 3 minutes, so more people have an opportunity to ask questions. If you have a specific question regarding your property, all of our homes were built, almost all of them, by different builders. So every situation is a little bit different. If you have a specific question about your property, there are cards back there and a whole bunch here. You can contact us, you can hand this to us, and on the agenda, bottom of the agenda is the email that you can also send things to us. These will be addressed at the opportune time during construction, those questions. As you know, Ann is back there working for us, and as you probably found that the survey maps with your property, this is all the south side, and the north side maps are on the counter for you to look at when you feel like it. Before we begin, I have one more thing that I think Janet would like to mention.
Thank you, Marilyn. I just want to address something that came up just this week. Thursday of this week, an anonymous letter was sent to many of the homeowners that contained several accusations meant to discredit the LTPOA board, the PWSD number 13 board, and the sewer project. That letter was filled with inflammatory remarks, falsehoods, scare tactics that were intended to disrupt this meeting. This is not the first time individuals have sent out anonymous letters or email messages purporting to tell the truth about some situation. They seem to be issued in response to any attempt to make progress in this community. The critical question raised in that anonymous letter is whether the LTPOA has the right, under Article 13 of the restrictions, to lay sewer pipes. The attorney for the sewer district, Bob Sweeney, will address that in his remarks. It is the purpose of this meeting to give the homeowners an update on the sewer project. It is not the purpose to address that anonymous letter, but for those of you who want answers to the other questions raised in that letter, there will be response sheets with the answers available when this meeting is over, and they will also be posted at the website. And of course, you can always speak to or email to any member of the LTPOA board or the PS number 13 board whenever you have a question.
Thank you. I think we're all set, ready for Tim, and he is going to stay back there with the speaker, right? Oh, you're coming up? Okay.
Turn the overhead off.
Good morning.
Turn it off. The Joe should do that. You want the overhead down?
Yeah, we're ready for the, Joe's turning it on. I'm Tim Robbs. I'm with the project manager from Taylor Engineering, and I've got Joe Gable with us. He's one of our project engineers. And we're here to kind of describe the system to you today that we intend to put in to address the sewer issue. So we let the... As Marilyn also mentioned, we've got Dan Hupker with us today with from Flow Systems. He has examples of a lot of the equipment that will actually go into your pumping systems. Okay. I don't want to be in your way, but I want to be where I can see these too. Okay, today we're going to discuss a few things. The first thing, I'm just going to give you a quick introduction to effluent sewer systems. Then we're going to dive into it and see what an effluent sewer is. We are going to see what the advantages of this type of sewer system are. Talk briefly about the O&M requirements, the costs, and then we're going to talk about the actual treatment plant itself, the recirculating sand filter. Effluent sewers are all over the United States, so this isn't something new. As you can see, you know, there's only a few states that don't have this type of a pressure sewer system in them. So they are widely used and very common. There's to the two basic sewer systems. I'll start. The conventional gravity system is what you see in most older, you know, cities and towns that have had sewer systems for years. They use a combination of gravity mains and lift stations with lots of manholes and things through the system. Those can be very expensive to put in, and they have a lot. There's just a lot to them. The effluent sewer system that we're proposing to put in for you is just simply consists of lines. There are no manholes, lift stations, or anything like that. So that's what keeps them, and they're also shallow. If you go with gravity systems, you're talking 8 to 12 foot deep sewers. So there's a lot of rock removed, a lot of expense to put those in. These small effluent sewer systems, each home is really its own little lift station. So the lines go in, the little frost lines, so everything goes in relatively cheap. You also, if you'll see the flow to these two systems, there's quite a difference, 120 gallons per day per person for a conventional system, 50 for the effluent. The biggest reason is the conventional gravity systems have a lot of leaks in them. And you have a lot of rainwater, groundwater that gets in that you have to treat. The effluent sewer systems are closed system. They don't allow that extra wastewater or the extra water into the system, and therefore you don't have to treat it. That also allows you to keep your treatment plant smaller and save costs there. So, next one. The benefits, it allows the construction of homes in areas where standard sewers or septic systems can't be used. And typically in lake communities like this, where you have a lot of hills and valleys, it's very difficult to get gravity sewers in. The system is professionally maintained by trained utility operators. There are affordable installation costs, low maintenance costs, and it has very little visual impact. When the system's in, you'll hardly know it's there. There's over 25 years of documented performance on these. The service calls are minimal. Negligible power costs to the homeowner, and we're looking at probably 5 to 10 years, depending on the waste loading between pump outs of your septic tanks, and it could be longer than that. So until we get into it, it'd be hard to tell. Let's talk about the different parts of an effluent sewer and what is it exactly. The system we're proposing for Lake Tishomingo is called a STEP system. It's a septic tank effluent pumping system. The whole system is going to consist of a septic tank. In that septic tank, we'll have a pump with filters, which you can take a look at right back here. You know, it's pretty good. That's almost exactly what will go in that tank. It's got its own filters. It contains the pumps and everything you need right in that package right there. You'll have the main line running from your house to the septic tank. There'll be a control panel involved with an electric running to the pump. And then, of course, there'll be a small diameter line running from the pump system to the main trunk line out near the street. And you'll have, there'll be check valves and shutoffs there. So that's the basics of the system. We'll get a little farther. The tanks probably will be a minimum 1,000 gallons, could be 1,500. We haven't quite decided how big a tank we want to put in yet. There'll be small horsepower tanks, probably 10 gallons a minute, 120 volt type tanks or pumps. They claim they'll have 20 years life to them. Of course, some won't get it, but some will. It's very similar to a well pump. It's just an effluent pump. It doesn't pump solids. All the solids stay in the tank, and all the pump pumps is the actual liquid that comes out of the tanks. And again, there'll be a control panel and a pump vault. The tanks, we will probably bid to the contractor. They'll either be concrete or fiberglass. Concrete's going to be the preferred method. We just like concrete tanks better. And anyway, well, there is a chance that we'll possibly use a tank that might be there existing if it's a relatively new tank. If it's proven it's a sound tank, we don't see any leaks, we will take a look to see if we can use that tank, you know, to disrupt the yard as little as possible. But it'll still have to meet our specs. But even new tanks, you have to watch because, you know, they can develop leaks and be, you know, have problems with them. So it's going to be definitely a case-by-case situation whether we use your tank or we put in the new one. The plans will be to put in a new one for everybody, but like I said, there'll be that case where maybe we won't have to. We'll talk about the pump vault again. Like I said, it's back there. It's got the pump. It contains, these are filters down there that once, you know, every 6 months to a year, someone will come, pull the filter, clean the filter out, which is a very easy thing to do. You just pop the top of your septic tank and that just pulls right out. There'll be a float assembly we'll see in a minute and the discharge assembly. There's the pump itself. Non-corroding stainless steel, typically 115 volts, lightweight, under 30 pounds, so one person can handle it, pull it out of the hole, put it back in, and again, it's proven to have long life. The pump itself is operated by a float tree inside the septic tank. They're factory set. What we would have, the bottom float, if you're septic tank is real low, that will not let the pump turn on at all. This is a float that actually operates your pump. If it's up, it turns the pump on. And if for some reason your pump does not turn on when that float tells it and your liquid level gets to this float, then there will be an alarm on the control panel that will go off.
Thank you.
So that will alert somebody that the pump's failed and we need to take a look at it. So, and there still will be ample room in your septic tank with that alarm float that you'll still be able to use, flush your toilet and stuff while somebody comes in and tries to find out what's going on. The control panels, they'll be made of high quality components. They'll be touch safe. Everything will be nice and neat and everything's accessible when they open the panels to do the work and stuff. This is what you'll see in your yard from the septic tank. There'll be risers that come up out of the ground so far, just above grade. That will be the access to the pump vault and the pumps down in there. On top of those will be fiberglass lids. They are a 404 bolt attachment. They're sturdy fiberglass. They are insulated. They're tamper resistant, so some, you know, kids can't just come around and yank them off and get in the tanks. You know, it's going to take some work to get into them. And they're lightweight. With this system, with the step system, the primary treatment is actually in the septic tanks. They'll remove 80% of the fats, oils, and greases in the tank. It will provide emergency storage if the power's out, you know, or your pump's down, you know, there's enough storage for that. And anything that maybe shouldn't be flushed, that gets flushed or sent down the drain, will be caught in the septic tank and not get down to the treatment plant where it does damage. the collection system itself on the main lines. There'll be small diameter lines. From our preliminary designs, we're looking at 2 and 3 inch lines is about as big as we'll have. We might end up with 4. Is that not correct, what we talked about? 4 inch lines going, you know, the main trunk lines will go down the main roads. Like I said, we won't have any manholes. We will have possibly some clean outs. And with those small lines means we'll have small trenches, which means less disruption to the community and less damage to the yards and things like that. We'll be able to put small trenches in there. Again, with those small lines, we will follow the contour of the land. We won't have to go deep. Typically, around the 30-inch burial depth is what we want to try to get. If rock is, you know, within 30 inches or 24, we may go a little shallower. Just depends on site by site. It'll keep the construction trauma to a minimum, and with those type systems, again, it's low operation and maintenance costs. This slide talks about the I&I issues again that I discussed a little bit earlier. The effluent systems are largely immune to I&I. You don't lose capacity in the treatment plant for excess water that gets in. And if excess water would get in the system, you still have to treat it, which we won't have to. You don't have to worry about making repairs because of it. And one of the worst problems and one of the things EPA is cracking down now on are what's called sanitary sewer overflows, where cities have small gravity sewers that are too small now for the water, for the stormwater, and you see water coming up out of manholes and things like that. Those are sanitary sewer overflows. And cities are going to have to start addressing those things. With this type of system, we don't have to worry about that. Your actual service connection, your line will come from your house to the main line on the street where we'll have a check valve, a ball valve, and we'll have an access riser coming to the top of the ground where we can access those, and you'll attach into the main line. We will have a toning wire that will be installed with all pipes that in case we ever have to, if someone ever has to find that line, they can hook an electrical on both ends, and they'll be able to trace exactly where that line went to. So even in the future, if you want to do some digging in your yard, you'll be able to easily find that line. I've threw a few slides in here just to give you an idea of what you might see around. There will be some automatic air valves in the system, mainly at the top of the hills. If you get a lot of air in the system, it can lock up the pumps and things, so we've got to have these air valves to let the air bleed out of the system. And then, like I said, you'll find those top of the hills and things, but they'll all be locked down and be very, you know, won't hardly be able to notice them probably. There'll be clean outs at the end of the lines. Once in a while, you know, if something does get plugged up, there should just be liquid going through these lines, so you really shouldn't have a problem. But we do make provisions, you know, in case something does get plugged, that they can get something in there and clean those lines out. What are the advantages of an effluent sewer system? Just kind of recapping a little bit, they're flexible in design. We adapt them to varying site conditions. It allows for phased build-out very easy. For new homes that might come in, the system will be designed to handle those homes. Can be integrated into existing sewer infrastructure. You know, we're going to try to use as much, you know, as many like existing septic tanks that we can. If you've got, you know, LPP pumps or something like that, you know, we'll try to use the electric for those if we can. You know, again, each one of those has to be evaluated on a site-by-site basis. Again, design includes reserve in the event of power outages, low impact construction, and minimal disruption to the community while everything's being installed. We protect the public health, no infiltration, no overflows, and emergency storage. Again, it's the only collection technology that provides treatment in the septic tank itself, and it reduces hydraulic and biological loading to the treatment facility, which saves us money on the treatment facility. What are the O&M requirements of an effluent sewer system? On the lot, there will be an occasional inspection and cleaning by trained O&M providers. Like I talked about, there's a filter in those pumps that every now and then will have to be cleaned. The only other thing really is the tanks will have to be pumped out, you know, somewhere in the 5 to 10 year range, depending on the type of waste that goes in those. And a lot of that's going to be dependent on you as a homeowner, what you send down the drain. If you have a garbage disposal and you put all your food down the drain and you all your grease goes down the drain, you know, we're going to have problems in the septic tank. So it'll be, you know, kind of up to the homeowners to watch what goes in those drains, how long those septic tanks last before they have to be pumped. The collection lines themselves, just be inspecting the automatic air valves, the cleanouts. It's important to exercise valves, because if you don't exercise valves, they end up freezing up. Then when you need them to work, they don't work. And then pigging of the main lines may be necessary. Kind of what I was talking about before. There'll probably be a homeowner's manual that comes out. You need to educate your family members on practice-wise use of the system. You'll need to keep your household plumbing in good repair and notify the utility operators if there's anything unusual that you see. What are the costs associated with effluent sewers? This is just basically what the district's facing to put these in. To build the ladder sewer lateral, install the septic tank, riser and lids, the pump, the control panel, electrical conduit wire, electrical power to controls and service line, be somewhere in the neighborhood of $4,500 to $5,500. And that's if the electrical system doesn't need major upgrades. If we have to do major upgrades to your electrical system, it could be more expensive than that. All right, we'll go on to the recirculating sand filter, the actual treatment plant. Down below the dam is where we intend to put the treatment plant. It will consist, again, of another tank. It'll be of a very large tank in the neighborhood of a 100,000-gallon tank that all the effluent pumps from up in the community will pump down the main lines, and they'll go into this big 100,000-gallon tank. Okay? And in those tanks, we'll have pumping systems very similar to the pumping systems in your tanks, although they'll be a bigger size. You know, we will, those pumps will then pump that water that comes in those tanks onto our recirculating sand filter. The filter consists of a layer of clean gravel, and then about a foot of it, and then about 3 feet of a pea gravel sand. These pumps will dose the water on top of the sand on the filters. The water moves down through the sand where it's treated, goes into the rock layer, where we'll have another set of collection pipes, which will collect that water after it goes through the sand. We'll come back through the septic tank down there. If the septic tank is full, then 20% of that water will actually be discharged down the creek. The idea behind the 20% is that 80% of the water will go back into this tank and then be recirculated back through the filter, hence the recirculating sand filter. The idea is that the water will actually pass through this filter, make 5 passes through before it's discharged. So that means it's going to get treated 5 times with the biological contact on the rocks, which provides for a very high quality effluent when it comes out and actually hits the creek. There's a slide to kind of describe that. You can see that these are all sand, the sand particles. We will dose this many times a day, 24 times a day, so that water goes slowly through that sand and contacts the biologics as it goes through. And the biologics on that sand actually eat the goodies in the wastewater. Okay? If you dose it too hard, you can see the water will just pass through. If you in one dose a day, you know, the water just flies right through the sand, you don't get any treatment. So we'll be doing multiple doses a day as we go through the sand. The manifold on top of the sand filters, it's a pretty good picture of what you'll see down there. You'll see the sand bed, and then you'll see these white pipes going across. This would be the main manifold pipe going down through, and it'll take off into laterals going through the sand, each lateral. And these little white caps, on the laterals themselves, there are holes about every 2 feet. Every fourth one points down, all the other three go up. We put those caps on those holes to force the water back down. But you make sure your pressure goes up and spreads out. But with those caps, that ensures you don't actually have any wastewater just flying around. I mean, it's all contained on the sand. It goes straight down into the sand. The reason we have the one going down is for the winter, so they'll drain every time it's pumped, so it doesn't freeze. I just threw this in here to show you. This is a picture of a sand filter without caps. You put enough pressure on those where if you didn't have the caps, the water would come up about this high. So that's how you design them. But you put the caps on, which makes the water force down. So you will not see this. Yours will all have caps, and there will not be any water just spraying around. This is just a picture of a very small sand filter that we did that I had a picture of to throw in. This would be the septic tank down here at the bottom with the pumps in it. It pumps over into this sand filter, and you can see the laterals. So this, just imagine this on a bigger scale. If you're worried about noise, about the pumps, these tanks are going to be in the ground. They're going to have lids on them. The pumps are going to be down in the water, you know, 6 to 10 feet in water. And they're very quiet pump anyway. So if you hear any noise, I'd be very surprised. The odor, most of the water goes straight into this sand when it hits the sand filters. So there's going to be little no odor from these things. So really, it'd just be a visual impact. If you look over the dam, you'll see this. There should be very little noise, very little odor at all from this type of system. There's just another picture of the system itself. This, you can actually see a drawing back on the wall, but I went ahead and threw it up. This is the Tishomingo recirculating sand filter layout. Here's your top of your dam down through here. We'll have an access road coming across the dam and then going down to the treatment plant area. This is our big septic tank we're going to have down there, 100,000 gallon tank, and we're proposing to construct 5 sand filters, 5 individual filters. Each one will be designed to handle 25,000 gallons apiece. So we'll be designing the system to right now handle 100,000 gallons, which, you know, we're estimating right now your flows are in the 75,000 gallon range. So we're putting in some expansion capability already if homes come in. We're also allowing space for 2 more 25,000 gallon filters. So if in the future there is a lot of growth, if some other community wants to attach on or something, there is space down there to add another 50,000 gallons worth of treatment. Again, this is just a little bit closer look at the system itself. You've got your tank. These will be your little pump units that will pump into their section of the sand filters. We've got our lateral lines. We'll have our collection lines come out of each one of these, and they will run back through that splitter valve I was talking about earlier. And before the water is actually discharged, there will be a UV disinfection unit down there to disinfect the water before it goes to the creek. And that'll be the last thing it does, the last part of the treatment before we discharge. And that's what I have on the treatment system and collection system. I think, are we going to wait for questions?
Yes.
We're going to wait for questions later.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Well, we have to continue. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last thing I'm going to talk about is the electrical issue just a little bit. I know there's a lot of questions on this, and I'll try to address the technical issues with the electrical. What are the options for the electrical connection? Our primary option is to connect directly to the customer's meter base. We are bidding out probably what we would consider kind of the worst case scenario for the district, the most cost. With everything the way it is, we can connect directly to your meter to run to power this sewer system. The problem with the meter, most meters probably are that they're single lug meters, and Ameren UE will not let us double hook on a single lug meter base. So we will have to probably upgrade that meter base to a double lug to come off of, which could be expensive because if we start messing with a meter base, we may have to bring some other stuff up to code. So that's our worst case scenario, is to hook this thing directly to your meter itself. We will then run the electric line to where the septic tank is going and put the pump and panel all right together. So if you want to go to the next picture. Well, I put my pointer down. It's kind of hard to see. But in this situation, we'll probably run and put the electrical panel on post right next to the electrical, or right next to the septic tank where the pumps are. So these will just be placed out in your yard and everything hooked up right there. So now we'll get into our second option. This is voluntary. You don't have to do this, but it does require the sign easement. This is where the homeowner provides an electrical connection complete with disconnect on the outside of the house closest to the septic tank and pumping system. Like I said, this does require an easement that allows us to attach the control panel to your house. That way we don't have your control panel out in the yard on posts where it may not be the most attractive way to do it. But we don't, yeah, like this, you know, we can attach it right to the house, you know, where it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. You don't have to worry about mowing around it or looking at it every time you're out there. But like I said, it does require an easement for us to attach it to your house, because right now, the way the easements all look, you know, we don't have the authority to put anything right on the house. It also, you know, would save the district dollars by having to upgrade your outside. If you have room in your panel for an extra dedicated circuit, this would probably be the way to go. The third option, and again, we'll have to evaluate this on a case-by-case situation. We can connect the pumping system to an electrical circuit already available for a septic tank aerator or pumping system used for an existing LPP drain field. So if you already have a circuit rent out to a tank for a pump, for an aerator, whatever, our electricians, the contractor's electricians, will take a look at it, probably take a look in the house, make sure it's a dedicated line, large, and everything's large enough, and if it is, you know, we'll reuse that electric line and save everybody, you know, a whole lot of work. Was there something that seemed like I'm forgetting something I was going to mention?
That's it.
About it. Is that pretty well it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, good job.
That's it.
Okay.
I think they want to wait for me.
Okay, next we'd like our attorney, we'd like to introduce Bob Sweeney, our attorney. What
do
you say?
Yeah,
okay.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, I'm Bob Sweeney. I'm the attorney for the district. I think the first thing that I wanted to talk about was what Janet mentioned. I understand that a letter was sent out that referenced a particular Court of Appeals case that the letter writers, the authors, interpreted in a particular way. I told the board members I spoke to, I thought the letter was well written. It was just wrong. The case that was referenced in the letter that you received was a Court of Appeals case, and since it was decided, it has been effectively overruled by a Supreme Court case. As some of you probably understand that the Supreme Court is the boss court of the state of Missouri, and although an appellate court has a lot of authority, the Supreme Court tells the appellate court what to do. Interestingly, the Dorch case that was referenced in the letter was overruled by another Lake Tishomingo case. So you basically have a monopoly on all the law in this area. My understanding is that there are other issues in that letter that I really am not equipped to address. They're more residential type issues that I believe that the district and the association board have addressed in a separate series of responses, and there's a handout available. Principally, I'm here to talk about the easement situation. One of the things, and I agree with everything that Tim said about the effluent system, the one downside to an effluent system is you need juice, you need electricity, and you need electricity at each residents. In a gravity system, you don't have that same requirement. However, as Tim indicated, gravity systems are significantly more expensive. The district board is requesting that you execute these easements. One part of the letter that was sent out did reference the fact that you own those easements. You own the property interest in your house, and that is absolutely correct. There is no question about it, and there is no question that the district is asking you to voluntarily provide an ownership interest to the district so that you can get the electric necessary to operate the system. The downside of not granting the easement is that the district has to take the easement. And no one is really interested in doing that in the sense that it runs at the cost of everything. The easements have been written to be as least intrusive as possible. We spent a lot of time making sure that they were worded properly and that they did intrude as little as possible upon your ownership interest. However, as I indicated, there is an absolute necessity to get an electrical source to the pump so that the process can work. I represent a number of sewer districts. This is actually a public water supply district that has sewer authority. The district was established by now Judge Dick Hayner. Judge Dick Hayner went through great pains with the district to establish the authority, and you are coming very close to the end of a, and it is an expensive process, but for a geek like me, this is very exciting to see progress like this in an area where you're actually retrofitting yourself to sanitary sewers. I'll be available for specific questions about the easements, but that's basically what I've got to say.
Good.
Thank you.
I'd like to go back over the question and answer session, which will begin right away. If you'd give your name and lot number when you ask a question, you'll be limited to 3 minutes per question. And if you have specific questions about your property, please put it on the cards that are provided or send us emails to that effect so that we can answer them appropriately. Anything else? We are finding that we cannot service everybody with the notary notarization in the back. It's taking longer, but you can have them done elsewhere. Most of them can be done at banks and then send it into the district if you don't get your notarization done today with Ann. Thank you.
Should we begin our questions?
Okay, do we have questions from the audience of a general nature? Yes, sir.
Bill Overy, I-5.
Yes.
My question is, what happens if there is a blackout on electric in the community? What are the consequences to this system?
I think Tim addressed that, didn't you, Tim?
Yeah, if the electric goes out, there's still going to be some storage in your septic tanks, depending on how big the tank is, how many days you have, but you should
have at least a day's worth of storage, in your septic tank if power goes out. So, you can only plan for so much. If you have an extended period, then, like a week or something, then we might have some issues. But if the power's out, you're probably not going to have a well to use either.
Yeah.
So, you're not going to be running water.
You won't get any chance.
Not more than you've got now. With a regular septic tank, if your drain field plugs up now, it could back up into your house eventually. If your pump quits, and after so long, if you're still running water, yeah, it could back up. But there will be alarms going off and everything. If the pump quits, and they can get in and fix it.
Another question. Yes, sir.
Ed Lewis, N49.
Yes, sir.
In addendum to the question about the electrical connection. For those of us who have generators hooked to our homes, will we be allowed to effectively power this system during an extended outage? You mentioned a one-day capacity. Many of us have seen power outages out here over the years that extend past one day, sometimes four, three, four, 5 days, though that's the extent of the uncommon, is that it has happened. So can we power this system independently from an electrical source within our home?
I don't know if we've had that addressed, but you want to...
Yeah, I'm an electrician by trade, that's the reason I'm going to answer it. If you're, are you talking about a portable generator or one that is a permanent installed generator with a panel inside?
Either way, it powers the unit. The real question is, will anything to do with plumbing, check valves, et cetera, negate us from being able to independently power these units in the case of an extended power outage? You mentioned having a one-day capacity. And then after that, we can't flush our toilets because of the backup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Many of us have captive air tanks. Mine, for example, is over 30 gallons. Without any power, I can take a shower, flush toilets many times. Mm-hmm. 1.5 gallon flush. So we're talking about, that's the question.
Well, you know, like I said, extended periods of time without power could cause problems. If yours is a generator backup, there will be, you know, like I showed the big 100,000-gallon tank at the treatment plant. If your pump's still working, you know, it'll probably just still send water to the system. So, you know, I don't see any reason why a pump powered by generator, you know, wouldn't go ahead and operate.
You know, the installation of check valves forbid us from pumping during
the extended. No, the check valves aren't by power. The only power is the pump. So everything else is automatic. So it should still be able to send water. But I would think the district may want to know and have a list of those homes with generators. So if it does look like there's a problem down at the plant, they can come notify you that, look, hey, we need some time to get this fixed down there or something.
Would there be any plan to prohibit us using generators so we can continue to use our...
It hasn't been talked about. I don't know, it might be something we want to consider later, but I wouldn't necessarily know why. Yeah. Might be you want to, if you want to put a comment card.
Another question about the dam.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the traffic is going to go over the top of the dam for the installation and maintenance of this project.
Correct.
Okay. We just spent a lot of money to repair all the dam. Since I've been here, we've been told to keep heavy vehicles off the dam.
Mm-hmm.
It is an urgent dam.
Correct.
Has anything been looked at to consider whether this is going to cause damage to our existing dam?
We have consulted the engineers with the Department of Natural Resources that inspect the dam and know the dam pretty well. They've been doing it for years and have explained to them what our plans are, and at this time they don't have a problem with it. I mean, the type of system we're building, you're not going to have a lot of heavy stuff going down. Your heaviest will probably be, you know, cement trucks. Would be the heaviest thing that's across. I mean, they're heavy enough, but we're not talking 18 wheelers or anything like that.
Is there a bond that's going to be in place in case of the collapse of the dam by some odd chance? What would happen?
When the dam inspector was out here, he said that there's no difference the way you build a dam. There's no difference versus a dam that's designed to be driven across versus not driven across. The only thing he said is we probably will have to worry about erosion, so we'll have to improve the surface.
So we're going to have to spend more money on our dam down the road?
It'll be done as part of the contract.
Part of the district.
The
it's
contractor.
It's going to be in the district.
One of the first things he'll do is improve the road across the dam.
I mean, he put gravel down.
Okay.
You know, and that'll
should
improve
we go
the dam.
Yeah. Anyway. Next question.
Curie Obrock, G8. Is there any reason why we couldn't make an attempt to get the land back on the other side of the dam so you wouldn't have to go over the dam at all, because there used to be a road there?
Yeah, we mentioned
that. Over the dam. We faced this when we fixed the leak.
Right.
Because someone had bought that property. Now, maybe we can buy that property back and put the road back where it was. A lot cheaper than going over the dam. Every
we can time. Look into that.
We can look into that. Thanks, Jerry.
Leave it down.
It really wouldn't be cheaper because we'd have to buy it back. Right now, we own all the area over the dam down there, and so we can go. If we're going to build next week, we have the rights to that. Otherwise, that's private property now. We'd have to go after those people.
We wouldn't have to go after. We have to ask if they would mind selling us the access, so we don't have to go to the dam.
For us to run heavy trucks over them, I don't think they'd accept. I certainly wouldn't.
Well, I'd rather run it that way than go over the dam.
Next question. Yes.
Mark Duffy, G9. I was wondering, the $72 a month fee, what is that actually paying for? Is that part of repaying of the loan? Or is that the maintenance of the system?
Yes, all of the above. Here. I think Janet has some information. I'm so glad you asked that question, Mark, because I'm prepared for you. If I rephrase your question, is why is the monthly fee $72? The monthly fee is estimated to be $72 because $72 is 2% of the median household income for this area. As a condition for receiving the federal and state funds, the user fee must be at least 2% of our median household income. In 2006, the district commissioned the Midwest Assistance Program to conduct the medium household income survey. We asked people to fill out the survey. We asked them if they were able to put down an income of less than $39,000. Please do that. Unfortunately, we did not get enough people responding to the survey that had that low of income. So our average turned out to be $43,000. Now, if you compare that to the area, if our average income had been $39,000, we would have qualified for federal grants, and our monthly user fee would have been set at $65. Where it is right now, it's set at the $72. And if we did not conduct that survey back then, we would be using the Jefferson County MHI, which would result in $83 a month. Now, of that $72, $44 are committed to repayment of the federal loan. The rest is just going to be operating and maintenance charges for the system. Now, the engineers have looked at this, and as Tim has said, this is a low maintenance type of system that we're going to be using. So there's a very good likelihood that after a couple of years of operation, we will have built up sufficient reserve that user fee will no longer be up at that high level. We can't guarantee, we can't promise, but that's what they're telling us, and that's what we expect.
How long for the loan repayment? The $44.
30 years.
30.
It's a 30-year loan at 4.125%. Next question.
There's one in the back.
Excuse me, Barry Knoll.
The plan will be to take the tops off the old one, fill them full of sand, and leave them in place. If we aren't able to reuse them, or perhaps if there's a lot of rock in your yard and you had to hammer out rock to get your septic tank in place, we may just pull that old septic tank totally and put the new tank in that same hole to avoid the cost of having to hammer out new rock.
Next question.
From Holland, D31. If you pull a tank, will you put the yard and the patio and everything back into the condition that you found it?
Yes. It'll be up to the contractor to put everything back in the condition
exactly
that was found.
Because ours happens to be under concrete, so that's what I'm wondering.
Well, those are some case-by-case situations we're going to have to really look at and figure out how we're going to do. I don't see the district getting the business of tearing out patios and rebuilding patios. we'll probably come up with a plan B of some sort there to avoid tearing those tanks out.
Next question.
H26, well, we can fill this septic with sand. Who's going to pay for that? Is that our cost or is that included?
It's included with the districts, with the construction of the system.
Another question, way in the back, please.
Yeah, can you use a
lot? Name and lot number?
4950.
Your name?
Rara.
Okay.
Can you utilize the, I've got a new septic system, aeration, can you utilize that?
We can probably utilize the tank. If it's a new tank, the aeration system we won't use. But the electrical line to it and the tank will probably be usable. You know, like I said, we'll take a look at them on a case-by-case situation, but that's our intention. Yeah, if it's usable, we'll use it.
Another general question.
Yes.
Dave Fitzgerald, you're 17. Are we doing it properly, making it back to all the state developers? Is this going to be a subcontractor?
Can you repeat the question, please?
He wanted to know if, on your lot, will it be a subcontractor coming back and redoing the reseeding and redoing all that?
Engineering firm currently on these
people? We, by Rural Development Rules, who's the primary funding agency, we have to have a man on site during construction at all times, pretty much all times. So we will have a man out here watching these systems go in, watching the repairs, and it will be our intention to make him, make the contractors put it back in, you know, to an acceptable level the way it was.
Next? Yes.
Kathy Hopper, D29. This aerated tank is the electricity already there. We don't have to sign an electrical easement until you decide whether or not you can use that electric.
No, the deadline is April 30th.
We want the easements signed by April 30th.
You just said that there's an aerated tank dedicated
to electric.
It depends on where you want the electrical panel. If you want us to put the electrical panel by the tank on the posts, then we won't need an easement. But if we want to carry it back and hang it on the house where the electric line comes out of the house, we'll need an easement.
Thank you.
Next question. Yes.
Elmer Richards, D24. What effect does the sewer system have on the current county restriction for 40,000 square feet? In other words, are we going to have houses on every different foot lot?
Okay. Yes, I understand the question.
Do you want to answer that? That's a...
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, the gentleman asked... what happens to our 40,000 square foot minimum requirement for a buildable lot? The county has zoned us as R11, which means 11,000 square feet. However, the LTPOA has set the restrictions at the building regulations at a 40,000 square foot minimum, and this board has absolutely no intention to change that. So it will remain at 40,000 square feet. Our regulations are more restrictive than the county, and they will be in effect.
There's no controversy over that?
There is no controversy over that.
Right now.
Well, you want to go
That's right.
But you've got Ed Kemp and you've got Bob. They don't think you're logical.
I agree. I don't know whether there's controversy. I mean, there may be controversy.
The point is, I think you have an opportunity for a lawsuit if you're going to keep somebody from building a lot.
That's true. Yes, a new board could change
it. It's possible, but it's also possible that the homeowners could have a vote on that and the majority vote in favor of keeping the 40,000.
In other words, it won't be automatic.
It's not automatic. We intend to keep that 40,000.
As Ed indicated quietly, there's always a possibility of a lawsuit. I can't guarantee that wouldn't happen. Folks can sue each other for basically no reason at all, and this situation gives plenty of reasons. I don't think they're legitimate, but it doesn't mean that somebody won't file suit. So I can't say that there isn't controversy, but your association, which is separate from the district, has certain legal authority that you wouldn't have sort of individually. The association exists as a governing body of your subdivision, and that association has rights that you basically, through the legacy of the developer, have given to the board. But a new board and new residents of this area have the right to change certain rules and regulations.
Next question. Yes.
I'm Lisa Judith, age 60. The way I saw it in the picture was that the lines are going to be coming along in front of the house. Like, I live over to your South Lake Shore. So that would come right across our driveways. And when you dig up, would you have to dig up the driveways to lay the pipe along the side of the road? Are they going to cover repaving the end of the driveway?
If we go across your driveway, yeah, they will be repaired back to where they were. There are, you know, as you know, there are some houses that have extensive landscaping out next to the road. In those cases, we're probably going to actually just go out in the road and then put the pavement back in the road to avoid tearing all that stuff up.
And that's in the budget to redo all that repair?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, yes, in the back.
Dan, you and Rich, well, I have a follow-up to that. So are these lines on all these papers out here actually where it's going to be, or is it negotiable in some way?
Those are negotiable right now. That's one of the reasons we're having the meeting. If you have a specific, you know, on your, you find your lot and you got questions or concerns about the way the line is running, please fill out a card, put your name and phone number and your concern, and if we don't get to you today, at least we'll have a record of that, and my boss and I will come out probably within the next couple weeks or week, and we're going to walk each and every one of these, you know, and see these concerns. So right now is when we need to know about it, so we can get them down.
The cards are available at the front desk and at the back table. Next question.
Man over here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Quickly, F32, if we get like an 8-inch rain, what happens to the sand filter below? Does it fill up and can it overflow?
It can't overflow because the valve in the tank will allow that water, it'll actually, I'll put it this way, when normal operation, the pumps that dose that sand filter are timed. So every so many minutes, those pumps come on and fill it. Okay, if you get excess water, the timer goes away and the pumps just turn on. So there's all that excess time the pumps aren't on to fill up as the big rains come. You know, now, you know, if you get, you know, 10 inches in 6 hours, am I going to guarantee the thing's not going to fill up? You know, no, but it should be able to handle 99.9% of the rains that come through.
Way in the back. Yes.
Hey, Ryan, G32. If you want to go with the, where it's electric and it's connected to the meter, existing meter, and it doesn't need the electrical easement, and the septic's on the other side of the house, is that going to propose be a problem at all, to wire to the other side of the house?
We'll just have to trench the wire in, you know, to it. So it'll be an extra trench there.
Okay.
Another question, at the door.
You say outside the house or through the house?
Outside.
Right through it.
Over.
Yes.
Rick Haddock, I-43. 2001, when I was president of board, we passed a rule, bylaw, whatever you want to call it, that our internal restrictions would prohibit any building on less than 40,000 square feet. I don't see that reflected in, if it ever got posted as a part of the restrictions or the bylaw. I think that would set some people trying to ease, and that would become a more formal piece of our internal rules and regulations. That it would take us to vote the property owners to make that change rather than just the board decision.
You're saying that in order to change this, we would need a vote of the property owners. I would feel much more comfortable because I would never make a decision to reduce it on my own. No.
I think, look, from the majority of us in here would not make that specific change.
It's just a building condition.
Thank you. So it has to be a vote of the property owners to change the 40,000 square feet.
Correct. It was voted on, so it's not voted on. It's board decision 2001, I believe, when I was president of the board. And we put that into the restrictions, but I do not see that reflected in what's posted online, and I was no hope that it was ever officially made part of our restrictions or our bylaws.
We ought to check into that. Thank you.
If it's not, then I think it should be done.
Thank you. You had one question already. Any other questions? Yes.
So that break in 73, you said an alarm was sound if the folks are working?
Yes.
So to your station and somebody there, or does it go
it's on your house? Your alarm, the control panel you'll have in your yard or on your house has a light and a horn. And if that alarm goes off, you'll know it, or your neighbor will know it. Me personally? No. It won't be tied to anything, no. Yeah, somebody have to physically report the board.
Okay, and I don't know if the electric needs to be upgraded for you to look into it?
Yes. If it's hooking up to the outside meter, it would be the board. If you decide to sign the easement where you want the panel on your house and you find out that your panel inside is not big enough, that would be on you as a homeowner.
Yes.
Valerie, still at 845. I live up in the forest. Is the forest included in this?
You
want
to respond to that?
Yeah. Right now, we plan on connecting the forest. We assume that they will be included. But we don't have the actual costs yet, and we don't know what it will be to connect them. But right now, it's our intention, as long as you guys want it.
So will that be added on then? That is it in the additional $72 right now, or how does that work?
It's still
$72. It's still $72, yeah.
The third sheet over, I believe, is the actual forest without the aerial photography.
Any other questions? Yes, way in the back.
Doug Sill, ABC 45. Is the board pursuing any other avenues to reduce these costs to us now besides minimizing off construction?
We don't have that alternative to reduce the cost.
No other avenues to pursue more grant money?
Not at this time.
Not at this time?
As we've explained earlier, we're set at the $72 by the federal government. We don't have any choice in that when we start out.
How does the federal government set that price? If the board can achieve, you know, getting more grant money, maybe some of the new stimulus money to improve our district,
that would be wonderful. We've asked about that. We'd be really happy if that were the case. If we do get, and we have applied for stimulus money on top of the loans and grants that we've already been promised, so we're trying to get more money in. Unfortunately, this money can only be used for construction cost, cannot be used for user fees. So our user fee, because we have that $2 million loan from the federal government, the user fee is set at the minimum $72. But like we said earlier, we fully expect that that will go down after we've built up a bit of a reserve.
No matter how much of the construction is the current grant paying for? And are there any avenues to pursue more money for the construction?
We have about $2 million
in grants. We're already getting $2 million in grants. We're at the limit right now. But we're applying for stimulus money, so we're trying to get more grant money. Yes.
But it still won't reduce.
But it will not reduce the user fee. Right.
Number one qualification for the grants, whether it be the federal, rural development or Missouri Department of Natural Resources or Community Development Block Grant, their first requirement is that 2%. So those are the main funding agencies, and they want to first make sure that 2% is met, because they, number one, they want to make sure a community is viable enough to pay for and maintain these systems, because, you know, years ago, they used to just give money out to communities, and they'd build these expensive systems, and then the communities wouldn't raise their rates high enough to maintain them, they'd fall apart, then they'd go back to the government 10 years later and say, we need more money. So in part of their effort to stop that, you know, they set these minimum levels. But it's something that can be changed later on if it's not needed.
Yes, right here.
What about the people who can't afford the $72 a month?
I think we really don't have an alternative. We have to pay our $72.
What if you can't?
Your septic line will be disconnected. Excuse me?
What happens after that?
The house is uninhabitable. Part of the agreement with rural development and also your LTPOA restrictions is if we have a sewer system, you have to connect. That's in the agreement with the rural development. And it's state law too. Yes, in the back. Excuse me? Yes. Well, I'm sorry, we're not hearing you.
How are you establishing a reserve?
A reserve? There is a reserve in that amount, and it was unfortunately not mentioned. We are also mandated to cover maintenance costs, cover our loan, cover maintenance costs, and there's a reserve for replacement of equipment. That.
In other words, when we've
had enough, yes, then the board would probably go to rural development, I believe, and then ask, say, we're accumulating too much capital.
Some good stuff in here.
And then we would ask for it to be reduced.
Basically, it's an accounting.
They do not want you to be a moneymaker.
Install sewers to keep the water quality, how the price increases.
Another question.
On this 11,000 feet on building. Is that on all lots, or is that from Jefferson City or Jefferson County?
That's Jefferson County when you have sewers.
And we demanding 40,000.
Yes, sir.
What are we trying to do, eliminate the people on the lake?
No, it would just be a decision by the homeowners, as Rick said. Yes.
The copious old board, when this goes out for bid, huh? What happens if the bids are extremely high? Are they going to throw the whole system out and not go forward with the sewers? Or are we going to have to
throw the system out? If all the bids are too high, are they going to throw the system out?
One of the things we're going to do when we bid this out, we're going to bid what we want, but we're also going to have several deducts in the bid. If the main bid is too high, then we're going to look at, you know, doing some things to make it cheaper to go. If we still not down where we need to be, you know, the board will have to then evaluate what they want to do. You know, it'd just be, if it happens, just be a board evaluation, basically.
What does that mean? That wasn't really very specific. I mean, if it's too high, it's come back to the board. By the way, Dan, you again, and Paul. Does that mean that the board will come back to us and say this extra $100,000 we need from the community? Is that what you're implying?
We'd go to the state first and ask for more money.
Yeah.
Yeah, first of all. And they may or may not give it to us, but that would not reduce the $72 a month user fee. Yeah, we tried to anticipate a number of these questions, and one was about, I can't afford to pay a sewer bill, I'm going to have to move. And one of the answers was that we came up as a board. The board has worked hard to keep the cost as low as possible, and we will continue to do so. We believe that ultimately the lake will have to install sewers to keep the water quality from deteriorating. And since all prices increase with time, If we don't do it now, it'll be more expensive in the future. And in the future, we're unlikely to get a $2 million in grant funds from Missouri DNR.
Okay, next question.
Are there any other questions? You both have had a question. Is there any new ones? Okay, in the window here.
Yes, my name is Mick Hockenbeck, G22. I have a question relating back to the dam issues. That concerns me as well, and I didn't think that was an adequate answer. Is there a possibility of getting some kind of separate bond for the liability of that construction company on that specific dam if there's a problem down the road?
Bob.
Tim.
Wouldn't that be covered under the performance?
Yeah, I understand that I would have concern about the dam also. If your contractor damages the dam, they're responsible for it.
Well, I understand, but and, the time limit, how long will that go on?
Well, and I guess that's one of those things that keeps lawyers employed. I mean, if there's damage 15 years hence, is there an accusation that it was caused by the construction? I don't know if that could be proved up. But there is, I mean, your contractor will have a performance bond. And part of that performance bond is to make sure that they do the job, that they get the job done appropriately, and that any damages that they cause are corrected. Again...
Is there a statute of limitations on that?
No. Again, it would come to an issue of proof. I think, effectively, there is a statute of limitations just in that if it's... I said 15 before, but if it's 50 years, it would be extremely difficult to tie damages 50 years from now to an action that occurred in 2009. If it's 2010, there's a heck of a lot better chance that you could establish that that's what caused it. But it would actually become a dueling match between engineers and lawyers on opposing sides. But is it perfectly planned that there will be no damage to the dam? I don't think I could guarantee that. I don't think an engineer would guarantee that. The district and the contractors and the engineers are taking every step possible to ensure that that doesn't happen, and then if it does, our recourse is the performance bond and suit.
Well, that sounds very complicated, and I would urge that the board would research his suggestion to buy that land so the liability could be moved around that.
My understanding is that the board said that they would take a look at that and investigate it, and as far as whether or not that's a viable option, I don't know. But, I mean, I think it sounds like something to look into.
There's some Alfred.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
My name is Toscano, and I'm D-12, and I'm 13, 14, and half 15. Now, right now, the board is going to control the sewer system. What if in the future the board decides to sell the system to a private company or something? Is it possible or not possible?
It's not possible. It's a public entity.
It's a public entity. Okay.
Well,
things happen, somebody's going to want some money, and they'll sell the system, and then it'll cost us whatever at their mercy.
I would say right now it's not possible. I don't know what the state legislature or federal government might do in the future. You know, apparently we go through periods of regulation and deregulation in my lifetime. So, but at this point, it can't happen.
Yes, right here.
I'm Jackie Marsh.
Could you stand up, Jackie?
I was just wondering if the board couldn't get an easement from the people that own the property.
That's a possibility. Yeah, and we'll look into it. Right. And then we'd have to build a road for access in the back.
Correct.
Yeah. Is that okay?
No.
We can look into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do is look into it. I guess it's
excuse
possible.
Me, Aaron, did you want to say something?
No. No, I think.
We don't have a dam.
No, we understand. We're the board knows that that's a concern. Any others? Yes.
Yeah, my question is that this...
Name and lot number?
Hit in M56. My question is that this originally was all going to be done because of septic tanks. Now, all of a sudden, we're putting in these tanks at every house with a pump, which to me seems like it's just a glorified septic tank.
You want to answer the difference?
No, the issue with what you're talking about is not necessarily the septic tanks themselves, it's the actual drain fields that fail of the old systems. It's where the water that goes from the septic tanks now, you know, into, you know, the rocky soils around here that can't handle all that water coming through. So it's not the tanks themselves that's the issue. It's the drain fields that are failing that are going to be replaced.
Gray water.
The gray water.
We have a couple. Yes.
Ken Stoddard, I'm assistant mayor. Once you start digging, how long does it take to do the project? And if you're getting hooked up from your house to the system, is that like a quick, you know, takes 10 minutes and you just flush again?
Those are good questions.
Yeah,
thank you.
Those are real good questions. We're looking at a 1 year to 18 month window to construct it. We're probably going to try to keep it within a year. Actual downtime for a house shouldn't be much more than a day, because they can set the septic tank, run the electric and everything without actually disconnecting you from your old system. So the actual only time you'll be down is when they're disconnecting you from your old system and hooking it to the new system, which shouldn't take very long. Now, if we're totally going to take out your septic tank and put a new one in, you know, that might be a little different there. It might take a little longer to do that. But if we're just setting a new tank by your old one, connecting into it, you know, shouldn't be much more than a day or two at the most, but I'm sure you'd be able to use it at night.
Yes.
Will we be notified beforehand when you'll be coming out to do each house?
You know, I don't know if you'll... I don't know individually if we have that in the plans or not. That's something you might make a comment and we can discuss. Because I don't know if logistically, you know, the contractor can do that. I mean, he might be able to notify you like this week, you know, we intend to be riding through here. Doors, handles, something like that. Or maybe even our guy in his downtime, you know, can try to notify you, you know, looks like this week we're going to be in your yard or your neighborhood, you know, something like that.
Thank you. Yes, Rick, let's make it quick because we're going to second round.
Rick Hannig, I know that the preliminary survey work and all that has been done. Were there core samples taken, or this treatment plant has actually done well, and if so, is there bedrock factors? I know
We did hire a geotechnical firm to come in and did a report, and they've got us recommendations and everything on how to build out there, so we have done that.
Okay, very quickly.
Dave Fitzgerald, I'm 17. To answer this gentleman's question about transferring ownership to somewhere else, you can transfer it to Hillsborough Sewer District, is that correct?
That is possible. Yeah. Yes, it could be. It could be transferred to another public entity, but not. I mean, I believe the question was to a private.
Sell it. Yeah.
I just wanted to answer.
Yes.
The young lady back here. It comes out to $120,000 a month payments. $120,000 a year payment on that note. At that $72 fee. And the $70,000 is going to go for maintenance. So you get $120,000. Paying off our notes, what we owe, and $70,000 going to stay here in the account. At what point, say you kept it for 2 years, $140,000, nothing's happened to the plant. Can you take the next $70,000 after that and pay down?
Can you prepay on the note?
That's
up to Donna.
Yeah.
We have to work totally with the guidelines of Donna Martin from Rural Development, and I was told some time ago that they oversee the budget. We, as a board, cannot write one check until all the material is sent here and there and comes back, and then we can write the check. Everything's overseen.
Can Donna's office say, well, you've got $140,000, take this next $70,000 and pay down? No,
that would be, I have no idea. That's up to Rural Development.
You don't want 10 years and $700,000.
They are our banker, please. They tell us. You had a second question. I'll honor that now. Thank you. Go ahead. Yes, yes.
I'd like to address this, Phil Overy, I-5. I'd like to address this to our attorney, Mr. Swain. And my question is, on that delay of 9 months, you brought up earlier the question of legal ramifications that may come about, my people suing, for one reason or another, possibly one contractor to another. Would this, how would this affect us in this delay of 9 months? Could we actually lose our grant money? Or do we have a stopgap in place to protect us from such delays?
I'm actually probably not the best one to answer that. My understanding is that if construction does not start within a specific period of time, you lose your grant. And that means you all have to foot that bill. In terms of whether or not there's a stopgap, I actually don't know that. I don't think there is. In terms of contractors suing each other, I don't think that would be an issue that would cause a delay in losing construction starting time. Contractors can get mad at each other, but the board could take action to fix that.
Do you have anything to say about that?
No, not really. I mean, talking about, you know, they'd probably be in construction before they got into where they were suing each other. So
then you've satisfied your requirement.
If we're that far along, then the money is secure.
What about private residents suing? For one reason or another, there's
if, base, can private suits stop the whole
trying to stop the progress
as long as we make progress
during construction.
I know if there is a resident that is refusing or something, you know, one of the things we can do is, as the district, is just bypass their house for now and then come back for legal action later on.
Right, right.
You know, so, anything else?
No, you've been very, very patient. There's one more in the back, but the cab. Name, lot number?
Lot D16. I heard you say that the pump is going to be down under the water like so many feet, and that, you know, it shouldn't be no smells coming off of it, or you shouldn't be hearing too much. Well, you know, I've heard this a lot. You know, this should be able to work by now, and it hasn't, or this and that. Is there any kind of guarantees to protect the lake if it does stink real bad, or if it, you know, it wasn't quite engineered properly? And like I said, obviously you're hearing the whining all the time from the back of the pump.
Smell bomb. I don't know if I've ever heard
that. The system that's proposed back there, the recircling sand filter, is, I mean, it's a proven technology, and the ones that are in place, you know, have those characteristics, you know, that we're talking about, that, you know, low impact to the environment. You know, the smells are down, the, you know, not much noise. So, I mean, that's typically what we find with those. Now, can we guarantee, you know, that, you know, something might go wrong down there if it's not maintained properly? You know, if it's installed and nobody ever goes down there and the sand starts getting plugged and stuff like that, am I going to guarantee, you know, there's not going to be problems down there? No. But if it's maintained properly, everything should be just fine. It shouldn't be a problem. Maintenance is a key issue. With anything.
Do we have the system around us? Anybody using this system within 100 miles of us?
To look
at
reminder about this.
What are some of them putting in now?
The drawings.
Do you know if anybody's using this system within 100
miles? We use them personally on a lot of smaller systems. This is our first bigger one. But I know of other communities outside of Bismarck, Missouri. There's a lake community that has one. It's Holiday Hills.
You know, you've been most patient, and we appreciate you coming and giving us some warning. And if you, would you come back up? We'll be here. Would you come up after the meeting?
I just wanted to ask for the group, when does the building start?
When does construction start?
Oh, billing.
Oh, billing. Billing starts as soon as you're connected. And they're going to start on at the dam, and you're going to do both sides at once?
That depends on the contractor, what he wants to do.
We don't know if we're going to go both sides and come up, but if you're closer to the dam, you'll be online sooner than the people down by the community house. Okay, you've been very, very kind. Please, we'll be up here. Look at the constructions on the wall. Look at, give us your cards. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Did you get the letter?
I did not.
Oh, well then.
They know better than that.
the anonymous letter.
You know, I did.
They have jurisdiction. If it isn't clean, they can shut us down. But it should be clean. That's a really engineering question. But my understanding is
put on here.
It's extremely. I believe so. I believe the engineers have to run that by them. That's my understanding. I'm not positive. I didn't do that.
I'm questioning about my own lot. That's what.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure you put your name down out there.
And if you have a problem with the routing or something.
They kept my existing concrete septic, and then they put in two other
systems. Rich.
All right, goes into one, they go to the other.
Will be handed out?
No.
Where are we going with these?
These are handed out here.
Copy. You can
get one of them?
Yeah.
Well, I'll bring one of you to the pantry, but that's the question.
Well, that way I can bring it. But anyhow, so they, the way they engineered it was, it still goes into the system. I have a stroke of the hand, it goes into another one, and then to another, pumps from there to the other one, then it pumps into my bathroom. Why do I not do one?
Put there.
That's a target of them coming here.
See the engineer.